Now it's time to pivot over to see what's going on from an agricultural standpoint. Dr. Mike Strain in with us for the the remainder of this hour, right?
Yes, you do.
Okay, we got the way up until 9 o'clock. By the way, programming note, we are going to go an extra hour this morning. We're going to blast out Moon. He'll pick up at 10 o'clock, but me and Michelle Southern are going to come your way from 9 till 10. We got check-ins we got to do with wildlife and fisheries. We want to check in down in St. George, see what's going on over there. I actually want to check back in Ascension Parish as well. I'm looking at the clock, Dr. Strain, and just
I understand.
There's too much assessment. I'd like to get back on a regular schedule, but at the same time, though, we want to make sure everybody's good.
Well, you'll have time in the future to get back on a regular schedule.
Yeah.
You know, so we have GOSEP today at 10:30, so I will be at my EOC when I leave here. Then we'll go to GOSEP, which is the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. As soon as that is over, the governor and his team will get on some Blackhawks and start their visual assessment. I will be on the ground for a little while, and then this afternoon we will take some of our aircraft up and we will do our agricultural assessments. So we will be flying mostly the coast, looking at one sugarcane, and I've already spoken to Senator Robert Allant early this morning, talking about, you know, what the cane looks like in St. Mary Parish, you know, because they came in. Some of those areas had wind from 68 to 93 miles an hour. And it pushed that cane down pretty hard, but that cane's going to rise back up, you know, over the next couple of weeks. You may see a little delay in starting of the harvest there. But overall, I think we were very fortunate. We have seen much worse damage. And so the most of the impact will be on sugarcane. But if we get some sunshine and that cane literally will start kind of rising back up, and the new type of equipment we have, you can still harvest it. We need the ground to dry up so that the machinery can go through there, you know, more efficiently, you know, and then it also has that better harvest sugar yield. The drier the land, if it's real muddy, that does affect the yield as we go forward. But also when you look at, we were extremely worried on the original track, and a track that we had up since early yesterday, that it would come in down by Marsh Island and then go across Baton Rouge and up in to the northeast portion of the state where our row crops are.
Yeah.
And we were very worried there about our soybeans and our cotton. Corn's been harvested, but I think we've been spared. A lot of areas, though, there's a lot of standing water. We got down power lines. We got infrastructure damage. We have trees down, and so we will be assessing that. And the word is to all of our farmers and everyone out there, one, take photographs.
Yes.
Keep good records. And that's essential for agriculture. You know, we do have a state and a federal declaration, you know, of emergency, and we'll see what follows. So after we do our assessments, the LSU Ag Center always sends out with their economists, and they will do assessments. Then the federal government will tag into that. With they're called county enumerators, so we will call them parish bean counters.
Okay.
And literally with soybeans, what are they counting? They're counting soybeans, right?
Literally, yeah.
But really, they're called, you know, the county enumerators, and they will gather information that will be submitted both to Washington and to the state as we look at that. So now we are in, you know, the recovery mode, assessing everything. We'll be looking to see if we have stranded livestock, if that's, you know, if the waters don't recede in certain areas, and what we have to do. You know, if you have fresh water, the survival time is much greater. If it's salt water, you got 5 to 7 days. They've got to have fresh water.
I'm sorry, walk through that a little bit further. What stranded livestock? I mean, yes.
So if you look at the lower parishes, you know, where if livestock, you can't evacuate your cattle, you know, in time. A few, yes, but not by, you can't evacuate 1,000 head.
Right.
It's just not.
But
technically,
know where they're going, though, right? I mean, they're
you know
they're
where they're
put
at.
Away. Yeah.
No, they're in their pastures. Now, what you try to do when you see the storm coming, if you are in Cameron Parish or if you're in Lower Plaquemines Parish, you try to move them to the highest available land possible.
Sure.
And then after the fact, you have to get feed to them, hay to them, and fresh water if needed. And so what we have done, both using airboats and helicopters, you know, to get hay to them. If you want a heck of a ride, get in the back of a Chinook that's got hay bales in it, the big round hay bales.
Yeah.
I want you to picture this, those cattle there, and you're down on the coast, and they will take and rear the front end of that Chinook up in the air, drop the tail, and roll those bales weigh a ton, right? Roll them out of that Chinook Or better yet, you're in a Blackhawk.
That is the most redneck answer I have ever heard.
Hey, now, yeah, that, yeah, that's redneck hay delivery, right? Well, or you're in a Blackhawk.
Yeah.
And you got two of them, mm-hmm. right? And you have two, and they'll be on lines, and you're going, and you got to make sure you don't want to drop them on the cows. They're on there waiting to get some hay, so you kind of outrun them a little bit, right? And when they pull that lever, mm-hmm. and they drop those 2,000-pound bales. That, you know, that Blackhawk will kind of jump up in the air. That's a heck of a ride. But, that's redneck hay delivery at its best. And the National Guard, the Air National Guard, they are incredible with that. But saves those animals' lives.
All right. Well, let's talk about in terms of where our cattle are versus where this storm went. When we talk about cattle in Louisiana, it's kind of all over the place.
Well, it is, except you have the cattle in the lower parishes. You have the marsh cattle. Then you have the cattle like in Lower Plaquemines Parish, mm-hmm. or down in Cameron Parish and there. And so they're in areas, and if you didn't have them evacuated, 4 or 5 days ago, they have to shelter in place.
Yeah.
And so you have large fields, but what happens is the water will rise. If you're in Plaquemines Parish, if you're on the outside now of the protection area, when they close the gates, and then if Highway 23 will go under 3 or 4 feet of water. Mm-hmm. And so you have to wait for the water to recede. You either got to pump it out from the inner levees. You got to pump it back into Barrett Terrier or wherever. And so you have to, deal with the livestock. One thing that we have done in the past is that we put the cattle up on the Mississippi levee for a short period of time, then put them back in their fields. So we have to identify them, know where they're at, how many they are. That's very important to know what resources have to be allocated.
Aside from cattle, with the storm's path, what other crops are out there that are, that's kind of their wheelhouse for St. Tammany or Washington Parish?
If you look in there, St. Tammany, Washington Parish, we'll be looking at livestock. A lot of fences got torn up. You got a lot of dead trees for that. Then secondly, also looking at, for instance, in Ponchatoula, the Liuzas and the other families that have those, the vegetables, mm-hmm. Because this wind is tough on those vegetables. So we'll see how they're going to do. So we have to do an assessment, keep good records, again, everyone, and then whatever we can do to bear with a work with our federal, our federal counterparts to make that all together. So
we've got Ag Commissioner Dr. Mike Strain in with us for the remainder of this hour. I want to pivot to a couple of other things in our next segment. When we talk about these things, let's put dollar amounts to them in our next segment. Mm-hmm. Also, Dr. Strain is from St. Tammany Parish, which took a huge amount of rain yesterday, not as much as Jefferson, but mm-hmm. I mean, that storm passed over, it crushed Jefferson, passes over Lake Pontchartrain, kind of refilled a little bit before dumping all over St. Tammany and Washington Parish before making its way into Mississippi. So we'll get an update on that front as well. Dr. Strain, I want to get back around to everything we talked about from like a sugarcane standpoint, mm-hmm. or a livestock standpoint, or wherever we're at with soy, whatever. I want to get back around to a dollar amount on that in a little bit, but you're a St. Tammany boy just like I am, so what kind of assessments have you gotten from back home?
We've got trees down. I got some photographs from my veterinary hospital and trees. One huge tree from across the highway mm-hmm. came down all the way across. There's a lot of damaged and dead trees, a lot of leaners. Mm-hmm. And by leaners, those are the residual of the previous hurricanes.
Yeah.
They've been leaning and at angles, and a lot of those are coming down. It's wet. So they're down, and so that's got to be cleaned up. And one of the things, St. Tammany Parish is and Washington Tangible is a huge amount of timber.
Yeah.
Just, timber. So we're going to have to assess how much damage was done there. And so that's, again, why it's so very, very important that we do our appropriate damage assessment so that then we can extrapolate that into a dollar figure. And mm-hmm. that starts, really in a couple days. First, we have the records from the owners, and the Agricultural Statistics Service will be talking to the farm owners. Then again, the Ag Center people and the county enumerators will get out there. Records are important. If you look at the cane crop, it will have an effect. But the good news is on the cane crop, the way the storm came in, it didn't take the entirety of the state. It stayed out of a great deal of the cane. Mm-hmm. So, but if you were in there and you had those 80-mile-an-hour winds, you're gonna lose a little bit of sugar. But the good news is the greater the size of the cane crop, a lot of those areas weren't affected. A lot of our rice areas were not affected, so that's good. Crawfish areas not affected, and so we have flooding, and then went through row crop country. Most of that was spared, so that's very good. So, to tell you a number now would just be a wild guess, but we will have accurate numbers that we will then present to the state and federal government. Because, I mean, it's an automated process. Takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And we're going to have that.
But with the sugar cane, just kind of refresh what you were saying earlier. With the cane, there is still the possibility.
It's going to be harvested.
Right. No, absolutely. You give it a day or two to see where it goes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, we need some sunshine, you know, a nice breeze and some sunshine. And that cane that was pushed down, you know, so they use the words lodged or flattened or pushed down. Mm-hmm. That will start rising up from the ground a little bit, and the new type of technology we have to harvest it. So, but again, from here till harvest, when we harvest that part of the cane, you know, and it, then what will happen there is that if we can get some nice dry weather to harden up the soil beneath so those machines can move efficiently. So we're, you know, not expecting, you know, a terrible loss, some loss, but not near what it could have been or near what it has been, you know, in the past. So we're very thankful for that.
I want to follow up on something you were talking about a minute ago with on the North Shore to get the down trees and whatnot. One of the concerns here in Baton Rouge leading into the storm, and fortunately, we had 34 down trees in Baton Rouge overall, which is a pretty good number.
Which is a pretty low number compared to what it could be.
Yes, especially when you consider, and this is where I'm going with this, last year's drought could still be spelling problems for this year's hurricane because of the number of trees that died last year, but which are still vertical.
Right.
How big of a problem was that expected to be statewide?
Pretty big problem if it would have went, you know, with an original route, because those trees, they're dead. So one, you got the tops that will blow out of there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, weakened root system that's pushed over. So you take that along with what we call the leaners, the ones that are leaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the effect of the storm with trees, that effect will be felt over the course of a year or two, not just the trees that are down.
Right.
Damaged trees, right, and the ones that are pushed. Because we had a lot of rain ahead of time, and they were pushed. You know, that picture, that 100-foot tree or so that fell by my clinic, that was a leaner. And it had been leaning, you know, towards the highway,
mm-hmm.
and the wind just pushed it on down. That was not a dead tree. That was a leaner. And so, you know, just those 34 trees, I think everyone needs to really take a hard look. And also, look around your home. And if you look at that tree is leaning, you know, you got a 20 degree, you know, 15, 20, 30 degree, you know, once the weather gets better, you need to have your arborist come take it out.
Yes. Because
what happens, the other thing you need to do is you look at the base of the tree, you know, as soon as when it's dry, you look at the base of the tree, and if it looks like a sandbar, it looks like it's very odd. You can see it looks where the soil literally boiled up out of the ground around the base of the tree,
mm-hmm.
and you probably got a broken taproot.
Okay.
Right? Because that's from the pressure in the water there. And what happens is that now you've got damaged roots, and that tree is now a problem at risk to fall on your home,
very
or your power,
yeah.
or fall across your power, go into your house and tear all of your electrical out of you, off the meter pan.
100%. We got Ag Commissioner Dr. Mike Strainin with us. You said look around your house. I want to get back to that in just a minute. Before that, though, I got one more on trees, and we're talking timber now as an industry.
Timber.
When timber gets knocked down, does it then be, and I know I've asked you this before, does it then become unusable?
If you can get to it right away, if it's pushed down,
yeah.
if you can get to it right away within a few weeks, then it is salvageable. However, modern harvesting equipment requires the trees be vertical.
Yeah.
There's the old days where you had the skidders that would go and hook to the down trees and chain. There's no chainsaws on timber jobs. Mm-hmm. Now it's all mechanical, and the machine cuts it, shears it off, lays it down, they pull it through a delimmer. So the problem is that there's very, very, very limited ability to harvest down timber.
Okay.
It's got to be done up. Now, if it breaks, it's worthless, other than for pulp.
Right.
Because it fractures that. And then what happens over a period of time, you get a fungus in there. So generally speaking, if it's on the ground, it has limited to no value.
Okay. All right. It's always a good clarification because it just feels like such a waste. You see, if a tree's knocked down whole, then it's like, oh, do
something
with that. Well,
the hope is in the future, as we come online to be able to use wood pulp for energy more efficiently, then there will be technology there that will be designed to go in and harvest that down timber
and
chip it on site. That would be the thing. If you had a machine where you could grab it and you put it into chips on site, then it goes to energy.
Mm-hmm.
But those plants have not been built yet. But if that happens in the future, what we're looking at, when you harvest a tree, you harvest the whole thing.
Right.
Everything.
Right,
nothing's
right.
wasted, not even the pine needles, right? And so that would go into energy, but we're not there yet.
No, but and so for now, if it's not used in the timber industry, then it's going to be, you know, selling firewood out of the back of a Buick. That's kind of where we're
generally,
at.
Generally, yeah. Firewood's not pine. Firewood's got to be hardwoods.
That's good. That's good
don't
point.
Do not burn pine in your fireplace.
Okay.
Right? Because, you know, all that rosin builds up, yeah. That tar builds up, then you know what's next, huh?
Yeah.
Fire in the chimney.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't burn pine in your fireplace.
We got to have Commissioner Dr. Mike Strain with us. You said look around the house. Look around your home.
Absolutely. Look around the home. So now is the time to look, you know, what's damaged, sharp edges, loose boards, loose tin. Also, be very cognizant of the power. Very cognizant.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in your home and if you notice, man, these lights, they're a little dull. Or that refrigerator, that just doesn't sound right. Remember, sometimes you can get one leg of your power pulled,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if that happens, just shut everything down until you can get the power company out there. But also now, as we move forward, standing water becomes our enemy.
This is where I was going, was the standing water.
Standing water is our enemy. Drain everything, because what happens with the hurricane, man, it blows all the mosquitoes out.
Yeah.
You know, the strangest thing, like after Katrina, you know, the night after Katrina, there was no sound. No sound in the neighborhood. No sound in the woods.
Yeah.
No sound. Nothing. No insects, no birds, no nothing. And so the wind blows everything out. It blows the mosquitoes out. But now, in about 10 or 12 days, mm-hmm. right, mosquitoes come back with a vengeance.
Yes.
And so that's the next step. We get 10 or 12 days out as that on mosquito control becomes a big deal. And, again, now what we're seeing this year, we're seeing across the United States is a surge in the viruses. And, you know, so you've got West Nile virus, and we've already had 22 cases in Louisiana in people. But then you also have Eastern encephalitis and St. Louis. So the bottom line is make sure your horses are vaccinated, but be wary of mosquitoes because, again, after the storm is when they come back with a vengeance.
You said we've had 22 cases of West Nile in humans this year?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, wow. You would just normally think West Nile's gone. It was something we dealt with for
West
a while.
West Nile will never be gone. Mm-hmm. Eastern will never be gone. St. Louis, what happens is that they are in what we call endemic or ever-present in the environment.
Right.
And so you may go for a period of time where you have a low level, and so what happens, the what's called background immunity in the environment, and that's in the reptiles, small mammals, birds, mm-hmm. you know, that goes down, and then the virus, what happens is we believe is there's migratory patterns and the birds and other come back to specific areas, then that virus starts rolling up again. As the virus load increases in the wild, once it gets to a certain level, it spills over. It spills over into the horses, into the human population. We'll always be here. One of the exciting news is they are developing a vaccine for humans for West Nile.
Really?
Now, we've been vaccinating horses for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
or actually pushing 30, you know, but it's ever present and it's becoming a consistent problem. And so the ones that would take that particular vaccine would be the ones at the highest risk of that.
There's an actual nice little dovetail for our next topic here.
September's food safety month,
and we're all looking at a situation where 390,000 people around the state of Louisiana
are without power. And there's a very good information packet out from the CDC, and it says if you leave the refrigerator door closed, don't open it,
mm-hmm.
it's good for about 4 hours without power.
Yeah.
Don't open it.
When you open it,
it drops down. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, for a full freezer, 2 days, 48 hours,
okay.
if you don't open it. A half freezer, 24 hours, if you don't open it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing of it is, now if you have a small portable generator, remember, that thing needs to be outside.
100%.
Right? And so it needs to be outside the house, and the shorter the cord, the better.
Yeah.
Bigger and shorter the cord, the better. But run it for a few hours. But if you open that freezer, and everything's thawed out, like you said, there's no frost on the side, you got water, and if it thaws out in that freezer,
mm-hmm.
it's done, right? And look, don't take a chance. It's better to clean out that refrigerator than get, and I can say this as a veterinarian, sicker than a dog.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Right?
I'm with you. If I'm being honest, I give it the smell test.
Absolutely. Food safety is critical,
yeah.
especially after a storm. Mm-hmm. You got to be very, very careful. When in doubt, throw it out.
100%.
When in doubt, throw it out.
100%. If you're talking like milk, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
If you're talking like chicken, I'm probably going to air towards beef, however, I tend to hang on to a little bit longer.
Well, you know if you don't pass smell test.
What? No, smell test is first.
Right.
100%.
Smell test is first,
smell test is first.
Yes.
And this, we got to rewind the clock to back to before the storm, though. It's an important note to remember is that the full freezer lasts longer than the half-full freezer.
Absolutely.
So there's
no harm.
A full
freezer takes less electricity
right.
than a half-full freezer.
So the game plan there, the pro tip there is before the storm, get a bucket full of water.
And put it in be ice.
Right.
Or gallon jugs,
yeah.
The milk jugs.
Yes.
You fill those up. Mm-hmm. And then, too, though, and it's a great source of water, mm-hmm. you know, we use gallon jugs on the farm.
Yes.
Right out in the shop.
Yep.
You know, and we set them out there frozen.
So,
and as they thaw out, you have ice water.
Number one, you're going to have more drinking water on the back end, potable
right.
water on the back end, but also extending the life of what's in the freezer as well. He's Ag Commissioner Dr. Mike Strain. Thank you so much for making time on
Stay
a very
safe,
busy morning.
Everybody.
Yes, absolutely.